Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us as we share that very message today. We invite you to know the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may know true salvation. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to Him. Amen. Let's now listen in on part two of last week's sermon, already in progress.
If we put that bridle into our own mouths, you know, how is that controlling us? We're going to explore that just a little bit here. But that's the point that's made, is that we must be bridled. And so look at verse 4. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot or the captain desires. Well, here we are now. We're looking at this giant ship. If you guys think of like the old ships, like we'll go with the Mayflower, right? That maybe the Pilgrims were on, or just those old schooners that we see out there, or even the big sailboats that race across the Atlantic nowadays, these big boats are pushed around by the wind. And so how do they direct their position amongst the sea? How do they get to where they're going? They have a small rudder that can change the whole direction of that ship. And again, our tongue is that rudder. So when we change the direction of our speech, we can change the direction of not only our life, but others and how we impact them. That's the comparison that's being made here, is that our words can guide our actions. And what is spoken, what we say, can shape what the results are of that. Small things that we say can exert really great influence upon others, like bits and rudders that go in the horse's mouth. As a parent, you're teaching your children how to navigate life how you think is best, based off of your experiences and the things that you have been through. So now you are exerting that great influence on your children by how you speak. Are you lifting them up or are you tearing them down? Same thing as we look at our spouses or our significant others, the same things. How are we guiding the ship that is our relationship? And without guidance, without seeking the truth of God and the word of wisdom here, without guidance, life is unstable. It's easy for us to get off track and we're never reminded that our tongue, that is a rudder of our life. And so that tongue, although again, small, it is definitely something that directs every step in our lives. And so that spiritual maturity, again, begins back with mastering our speech, not necessarily just restraining it, okay? We need to be able to use our knowledge of God and what's in the scriptures and to be able to speak truth to others and be aware that if we don't control the negative things that we say, then we're not restraining ourselves. So we are unrestrained at that point. Verses 5-6 goes deeper, and you're going to see here where it starts talking about fire, right? What is fire doing in here? What's with all these illustrations, and why do these matter? It says, so also the tongue is that small part. We've already hit that. And yet it boasts of great things. We've talked about that too. How great is a forest set aflame by such a small fire? The illustration that's being drawn here is that a forest fire, you talk about the fires in the Alcan here in Alaska or the Yukon out to Canada. You look at California. That's the most recent one in history that we can really talk about. Southern California, one spark from one person burned down a significant portion of that area in Southern California. That one spark, that one word that comes from us can cause significant damage. And we have to be aware that that one thing we say could change the whole experience or relationship even that we're having with somebody. Or that if you're in a position where you're, you know, maybe you're giving a lesson, you're teaching somebody, or you're working with your coworkers, something you say, what if you say the wrong thing? What if you treat them poorly? You know, what if you're giving a review of one of your employees and you use negative language that's not truthful? Maybe you embellish what you say. How does that affect them? Are you boosting them up? Are you encouraging them to work harder? Or are you tearing them down? You have to look at what you say, how big of a fire you're about to set, and what it's going to burn, right? And as you guys know, it's really hard to contain a fire once it's burning. right? You have to dump sand, water, firefighters, whatever it is, depending on the size of it, but it's going to take a lot of extra effort to do damage control, but the results of it are still there. We still have the soot on the ground and the scarring on the land, if you will, from that fire that was set. So the tongue is a fire, okay? The very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. We've heard that before. We're going to get to that. We've heard that elsewhere in scripture. And it sets on fire the course of our life. Again, it's going to direct where our life goes and is set on fire by hell. And so I want to point out here that that word hell, it may seem odd that this is like in scripture, the way that it's written, but hell here is referenced to Gehenna, which is a Greek word used for hell in the New Testament. That word really is tied to the Valley of Hinnom, which was a famous place where they practiced child sacrifice. It's outside the city of Jerusalem. But right now it's described as, like, it's referred to commonly as a burning heap of garbage, right? And so when we look at this and we say that it sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell, nothing is good. So we have to understand that there's a correlation that it is not the greatest thing, right? It's not something that's super positive, right? And so we have to recognize this, the severity of the use of our tongue. So it outlines those kind of what we need to do with it, right? And how that damage is done. And again, this draws us back to the heart issue. So we're going to spend a majority of our time left here in this particular group of verses, okay? So when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the crowds were present in Matthew 15, what we see is that in verse 11, he says, "It is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man," referencing what they're eating, "but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man." And so a lot of times we can forget that, again, what comes from our tongue, the amount of weight that that carries can defile us. It can ruin our witness, right? And then further down in Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 through 19, when he's speaking to Peter and the disciples after that discussion with the Pharisees, he says, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And those, again, are what defile the man. And so for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders." And so this group of verses right here really outlines for us the severity and the weight of understanding what heart issues can do and how that is projected and reflected outside of our bodies. And so another thing we're going to look at here is, if you guys remember back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, Isaiah has this vision. And so we're going to go through the verses here, but it says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. And the seraphim," fiery ones, right? These are, the seraphim are like fiery beings. They're heavenly or supernatural beings, okay? "They stood above him, each having six wings, with two that covered the face, two he covered his feet, with the other two they flew," okay? "And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts.' And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with a set of tongs, and he touched it to my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity has taken away, and your sin is forgiven.'" The reason this story out of Isaiah, this set of verses, is so significant is that when we tie Matthew the first set of verses in Isaiah together, and we start looking at it through the lens of James. James is telling us very clearly through the use of illustrations here in references that this, even for a prophet, even for somebody who was given specific visions or prophecies for the future, he himself, as holy as he was guilty of sinning just as we do. And so what we see is that when that happens, Isaiah felt as though he had often offended the Lord in that perspective, because in that presence of the holy, of the seraphim, and they're singing holy, 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 he says, I'm ruined. That basically means I'm coming apart. Like, I am worthless in the light of this. I am hopeless. His lips weren't clean in the sight of God. And if that means that his lips weren't clean, that means that his heart wasn't clean in the sight of God. And so that's the reference that he's making there. Lord, my lips are a representation of my heart. My heart is not clean. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, is what we see in Matthew. He says, I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. So that means that sometimes we get caught up in how we speak, and that those that are around us daily, whether that be in the congregation, whether that be in the people that we work with in life, or at, even at our home, are we communicating evil to them? In 1 Corinthians, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, right? So if we're not good examples for others in how we speak, then we are dwelling amongst other people that are suffering from those unclean lips as well. They themselves have heart issues. They, maybe you're, as a result, like Isaiah is saying, maybe as a result of that, we are speaking things that are not edifying to them. And we're creating a grouping around us that can suffer the same thing. Again, Isaiah there is just illustrating that, like, yes, of course, we can be forgiven for those things. If we've made a profession of faith and our faith is in the Lord and we've repented from our sins and we truly believed, he's saying that he was forgiven from those iniquities. And so the same can apply for us, but we must recognize that we must repent. So my question for you is, what fires are you starting with your mouth? Are you giving life? Are you speaking truth? Or are you bringing destruction? And so these verses should really kind of serve as like that really serious warning to all of us. And that careless word that flies out of your mouth when you're angry or you're upset can damage your reputation, can ruin your relationships. It can harm your community or your grouping of friends. We must really take responsibility for that. And so the illustration that I'm going to give right here was one that I picked up from a book, but it's kind of a good example for us to apply to this. Imagine that you're holding a loaded gun. It's small, right? A small gun, right? A pistol. But one pull of that trigger can change everything, depending on where it's pointed. So a harsh word like you're worthless or something along those lines, that can leave wounds that last for years. So you've pulled that trigger on something that you just can't take back that easily. And so once you fire that bullet, it can't return, and we just can't take those words back. So be aware of that. That's the illustration in like common layman terms right now that I want you to think about, is that when you fire that round out of your mouth and you apply it to everybody or to that person you're speaking to, how is it affecting them? So we need to handle our tongue with that care. Verses 7-8, it says, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles, of creatures of the sea, is tamed and have been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It's crazy the fact that, you know, God gave us the ability to tame practically every animal upon the earth, right? He gave us that, and we see that in Genesis, but the tongue is still untamable. How is that? How is it that we can tame many things in this world? We have people that are training dolphins to go find mines in the middle of the ocean. We have people that are able to train, you know, birds to carry messages hundreds of miles, but we can't control our tongue. So the reaction to this poison that the scripture speaks about is much the same for all people. Some of us as people are able to handle harsh words a little better than others. We have thick skin. Like, that's common terms that we might use. We might be able to handle that criticism a little better, but we've all been hurt and damaged in some way from those poisonous lashes of the tongue. In verses 9 through 10, we start seeing the kind of duplicity of this whole situation. We see that the verse says, with it, we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. I don't know about you, but we're probably guilty of this, where we can speak blessings to people, but we can also curse somebody. We could be worshiping at church and then speaking against somebody or raising our voice against our brother, sister, spouse, whatever, guy at the grocery store immediately following church, right? This is the reality. Somebody might have been upset on the way to church today, right? But it's not to target somebody or point it out. It's just to point out the fact that we have this duality that exists in us where we can give blessings, but we can also curse very easily. And it's usually tied to our emotions or what's stored up in here. Maybe we're having a rough time. Maybe we're grieving. Maybe we have loss in our life that we're handling, that we're working through. And sometimes we lose control of that. And sometimes that comes out via our tongue. In verses 11 through 12, as we get ready to wrap up, it says, does a fountain send out the same opening, both of fresh and bitter water? And can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Okay, you guys have heard this. I know you've heard this, but a tree is known by its fruit. That's pretty common. That's something that we can probably identify and say that a banana is not grown on an apple tree. A tree is known by what it produces. And so as Christians, we profess to be believers, but we live as the world lives, we should be concerned about the fruit that we produce, okay? You might have heard somebody use the phrase, I don't see fruit in that person's walk or their life. Or you might be asked, what kind of fruit are you producing, right? Or you might be asking yourself that. What have I done to produce in the last 6 months? But James' illustration about that fresh water really corresponds to those things that are like desirable, right? Fresh water is good. You can do a lot of good things with fresh water. You can hydrate, you can stay alive, you can do those things, you can cook. You can use it for bathing, drinking, irrigating for plants. But that salt water correlates to things that are undesirable or things that are unfit for drinking. The duality, again, looking back at that and saying, am I producing fresh or salt water? What am I pouring out? And the spring produces that salt water. It can't produce fresh, right? So if there's brackish water where you kind of mix it together, I feel like that's like a really great illustration sometimes of us, is we try to do the good things and sometimes we have the bad things. We make it together. We're brackish. But we can't necessarily consume that. That's not nourishing to us. And so it doesn't really sustain life. We can't stay in that manner forever. And so the implied lesson there is that our heart speaks blessings, not pouring out curses, okay? We want to provide that fresh water and not that salt water. Again, the tongue will reveal what is on the inside. And if our hearts really are right with God and we're walking in communion with Him, then our words will be sweet and acceptable. There will be fresh water, right? Our hearts are not right with God, then the sin will be within us, and we'll be revealing that through our words. And if you find yourself as someone who's continually being negative, you're really struggling with this, or you're being judgmental, or you're degrading others, or maybe it would be a good idea to check the status of your heart, right? Again, because this is a heart issue, not a mouth issue. Those who are right with God will be known again by their words, just as those who are far from Him will be revealed with their words. Our communication is, again, revealing the condition of our heart. I don't know about you, but I want to produce fruit that pleases the Lord. That's what I want to do all of my days here on this earth. And I'm sure that that's what other Christians are striving for as well. But don't allow the damage that you carry or the not the damage, but the weight of what you carry, the issues that you may be containing in your heart, don't allow that to spill out. And if you're someone, again, who's continually struggling with these things, then I implore you, I ask you to seek support. Seek to turn that situation into a positive one, to change your words to positive. But the only way you can do that is through seeking the help of the Lord, right? We witness and we share the gospel to people who are struggling. But ourselves as Christians, it doesn't mean your life is without trials and temptations. That's what we saw last week. So there are going to be times where maybe our speech isn't as savory as it should be. And for the sake of the other believers, your brothers and sisters, your neighbors, do your best to provide that fresh water to them. Some of the practical things that you can do if you're struggling with this is that you can seek the Lord's help, right? You can pray and ask for direction. You can seek the Lord's wisdom, as we discussed last week. We can pray fervently without ceasing, as Scripture tells us. We can pray for each other when we know that people are struggling with this. We can meditate upon the Word of God. We can search the Scriptures for answers to the problems that we're dealing with, because the Word of God is sufficient. And if our heart is focused on Him and our eyes are on Him, then we are less likely to sin with our mouth. So if you're here today, or you're within earshot of this message, if you're hearing this message and this is spoken to you in any way, and you've become aware of the fact that maybe you truly do need to repent of your sins, maybe you need to have a relationship with the Lord, maybe you're seeking a savior, maybe you're recognizing that although you feel as though you're walking upright, maybe it's a facade, maybe it's just an outer shell of what you're doing in your life, of who you say you are. If you've struggled with that restless tongue or gossip or anger or inconsistencies, I ask you to take a step and move forward with that. Reach out, seek your local congregation, seek your friends, seek your another believer. Ask them to pray with you. Speak with them about it. If you haven't given your life to the Lord and you believe with your mouth, because we're all sinners, right? If you believe with your mouth and you make a profession of faith that Jesus is Lord and Lord of your life and you give everything to Him, you too can have forgiveness from your sins of your tongue. We just ask that you would just be with us as we journey forward. Next week, we'll be moving into the cost of the cross. And the week after that will be the cost of following Christ. And so we'll be exploring how those two things, those two topics relate to our life. And we'll be breaking away from James. But I ask you to not forget to reference this book, this current New Testament Proverbs for you. And you can learn a lot of lessons from that. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for today and watching over us and just allowing us to be here to hear your word. Father, we all need you. We all need forgiveness. We all need to be washed of our sins, Father. Father, we just ask that you would encourage us to be doers of the word, not just listeners, that we would seek ways to heal our heart issues and so that we can soften our tongues, so that we might speak blessings upon people and not tear them down. Father, we just ask that you would change our hearts, that you would allow us to give those pains and the things that we struggle with to you. And then we lay them at the foot of the cross, Father, because you are enough. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for those believers in our lives, Father. Just ask for your watch care this week as we head out into our mission field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we close part two of this sermon, James leaves us with a serious but hopeful reminder. Our words matter because they reveal our hearts. The tongue may be small, but it carries great power for good or for harm. Scripture makes it clear that none of us can tame it on our own. That reality is meant to drive us to Christ, not to despair. Jesus alone spoke with perfect righteousness, and he bore the judgment for every careless word we have ever spoken. Through faith in him, we are forgiven, justified, and being sanctified. As the Holy Spirit continues his work in us, our speech should increasingly reflect the grace we have received. Let us ask the Lord to guard our mouths, to shape our words, and to help us speak in ways that honor God and build others up. May our tongues be instruments of truth, humility, and love, all for the glory of God. Please join us next week as we study the cost of the cross with Pastor Gus. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations. We aim to see that all have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.